You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Gay marriage was legalized in Massachusetts in May of 2004. 6 months later, December 26, 2004, an earthquake struck off the coast of the island of Sumatra. The massive tsunami kicked up by that earthquake washed over 14 countries and killed a quarter of a million people. Evangelical Christian leaders in the United States rushed to their TV studios, not to raise money for the survivors, but to assign blame on the gays. The Boxing Day tsunami was God's punishment for gay marriage. God was so mad about middle-aged lesbian Methodists getting married in Boston that God had no choice but to drown hundreds of thousands of poor brown people on the other side of the planet. When Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans, TV preachers insisted that God was really mad, so mad about all the gay bars and all the gay street parties on Bourbon Street. The gay bars on Bourbon Street survived Katrina unscathed, but nursing homes in New Orleans' Ninth Ward were flooded and scores of little old ladies drowned in their beds. 1,200 people lost their lives in New Orleans that day. Not one of them was in a gay bar. The Lord thy God is a vengeful God. It's right there in the good book, but they keep forgetting to tell us that the Lord our God is a terrible shot. All-knowing and all-powerful, but the dude can't find Massachusetts on a map or tell a nursing home apart from a gay bar. He is the Mr. Magoo of higher powers. Ebola, 9/11, the 2008 economic crisis, Hurricane Sandy, the fall of Rome, Hurricane Harvey, tornadoes, climate change, all things TV preachers have blamed on the gays. So if you want to measure for how bad this pandemic truly is, if you need more evidence that COVID-19 has upended pretty much everything, a TV preacher got on TV last week and blamed the coronavirus pandemic on the sexual immorality of straight people. The Reverend Irvin Baxter, founder of End Times Ministry, an expert on biblical prophecies about the end times, host of an internationally syndicated radio show about the end times, which are always just about to come, like a 14-year-old boy with 5G, the Reverend Irvin Baxter said this on the Jim Baker Show.
I hope this research is not correct, but I got it straight from the encyclopedia. It says that 5% of new brides in America now are virgins. That means 95% have already committed fornication. Now, God says, all do not be deceived. God is not mocked. No fornicator, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor extortioner, nor drunkard, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. If we think we can just ignore God and live a sinful lifestyle, well, we cannot do it. And, you know, I believe what you're saying, that God may be using this as a wake-up call. This coronavirus may be a privilege, because I'll tell you right now, there's a much bigger judgment coming. It's in the Bible.
So we're not to blame. For once, we didn't do it. It was all you harlots out there who aren't virgins on your wedding nights. You did this. Think of all the little old ladies who died in that nursing home here in Kirkland, Washington, who would be alive today if American women could abstain until marriage. The message from God, ladies, stay off the D or grandma gets it. It's important to note that God, according to Reverend Baxter, doesn't feel particularly vengeful about all the straight boys out there who aren't virgins on their wedding nights. The boys don't even come in for a mention. The Reverend Baxters of the world don't obsess about male purity because they don't want to own or control men's bodies. Well, not straight men's bodies anyway. They'd like to tell me what I could do with mine. And the gays do, of course, get an honorable mention in Reverend Baxter's list of things God doesn't like. We get a shout out. But it's so rare for an evangelical Christian to blame a natural disaster, a hurricane, an earthquake, a pandemic, on straight people, that attention must be paid. And Reverend Baxter, I'll admit, is an outlier. Plenty of other evangelical Christian leaders have already fingered us. The preacher who leads a weekly prayer meeting for Trump's cabinet blamed the pandemic on those who express a proclivity toward lesbianism and homosexuality. But it is so rare to hear a Christian preacher attempt to blame straight people for anything. These are the same galaxy brains who blamed teen pregnancy on gay sex. It's so rare that I thought, again, attention must be paid. Reverend Baxter's comments are so out of the ordinary, so out of left field, so out of step, that they could only be one thing, a sign of the end times. All right, coming up on today's show, possibly another sign of the end times, author Tristan Taormino is here, and together she and I advocate for monogamy. And on the Magnum, Sarah Dysock joins us from Early to Bed to talk about sleeves. Also, a programming note, a lot of COVID-19 questions on the top of the show. Some of them are sad and depressing. In the Magnum, we leave COVID behind and we take some plain old pre-2020 sex advice questions. All that coming up on today's show. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by DoorDash. Get $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code Savage. Want to save money, save the planet, and look good while you're doing it? It doesn't get any better than ThredUp, the largest online consignment and thrift store. Shop over 35,000 brands at up to 90% off estimated retail. Go to thredup.com/savage for an extra 30% off your first order. That's thredup.com/savage. thredup.com/savage for an extra 30% off today. Before we get to your questions, we wanted to share one of the calls we got after we asked people to phone in and share their quarantine, lockdown, sex stories, sex tips with us. We're going to open shows with these stories for the next few weeks, few months. We'll see how long it goes. But here's the first one.
Hey, Dan and team. I live in Canada, and I'm in an amazing long-distance poly relationship with a guy who lives in Washington. We're both listeners, and we love your show. We usually get to see each other two or three times a month, but now we're sheltering in place with our respective spouses and the borders closed. So we're having even more fun with sexting and X-rated video call dates. Sometimes when we have a video call planned in the evening, we'll send each other homework assignments that morning. Past homework includes write an erotic short story, record an audio clip of a sexy daydream, take a nude shower selfie, list your top 10 spank bag scenarios. Or this week, he sent me a link to a porn video he knew I'd enjoy, and I found one for him. Definitely be trying that one again soon. Basically, an entire day of foreplay. Guarantees incredible cam sex when we finally start our call. Plus, we feel connected all day and get even more ideas about what turns each other on and how we want to play next time. If this gets played, call Belt Baby. Love you.
That was really wonderful. Thank you for phoning that in. Everybody else listening, if you have a sex story, sex tips for getting through the lockdown, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064, and share it, and we might open the show with it next week.
Hi, Dan, 38-year-old, cis female, bisexual, living in a large European city, and a super long-time listener of the show, and I need some quarantine survival skills. Basically, I'm super nervous about phone sex, but I'm in a long-distance relationship, and all of our upcoming trips have been canceled due to this pandemic, and our borders are even closed indefinitely. So it's time to get creative. But here's the deal. I just feel like phone video sex is super performative, and that when I'm really masturbating, I'm not cute at all. Like, my face is smashed into the pillow, and I'm ugly groaning and humping myself, and there's like tools everywhere. And I just feel like with the video or the phone sex, like, I'm supposed to please my partner, and then also there's like pressure to come at a certain time, and I don't know, I'm in my head about it, and the whole thing just makes me nervous. But it's time to try. And so I just love some advice you could give on like ways to get more comfortable or like be better at it or really enjoy phone sex, since this is obviously a tool a lot of us need right now. Also, one more thing I'd like to mention. Everyone keeps talking about how they're locked in their houses with their loved ones and how hard it is, but I just wish so much I was locked in my house right now with my arguing with my loved one. And there are millions of people around the world that are actually separated and worried about the ones that they love. And so I just think it would be nice also for you to just touch on LDRs and give us all some just general advice about, you know, how to get through this so far away from the ones we love.
I was talking or swapping direct messages with a friend last night, who's a hugger. Thankfully, we don't live in the same city, so I'm not subjected to his hugs often. I'm not a hugger. We joke about it. He's a hugger. I'm not a hugger. And it's been 10 days since anyone's touched him. He lives alone, and his fiance lives in Europe, and they fly back and forth to see each other as often as they can. But my friend right now, because of stay home, lockdown, who needs touch, who's a hugger for a reason and a consensual hugger, doesn't hug me, knows I don't like it, leaves me alone, hugs other people, literally hasn't been physically touched in 10 days, and it's kind of making him crazy. And so to everyone out there who is alone right now because you're in an LDR and your lover or partner is far, far away, or is alone right now because you're single but cut off from human interactions, from human touch, this non-hugger aches for you, for everyone right now who is isolated. We also should take a moment to acknowledge people who are trapped with quote-unquote loved ones that they don't like very much. There are some people out there who are now locked down with partners that they were able to tolerate because they could leave the house every day for hours and hours and hours and go to work. There was a huge spike in divorce filings in China in areas that had been locked down after the lockdown was lifted. I expect that rather than the baby boom some predicted, what we're going to see is a huge spike in divorce filings because some people are trapped at home, not with their loved ones, but with their unloved ones that they've been pretending are their loved ones. And that's a lot of work that requires a lot of effort. And people who are looking at an indefinite lockdown right now may be despairing. As we've seen in China and South Korea, places that have been locked down earlier, they're beginning to lift those lockdowns and allow people to get back out in the world. So this lockdown, if we do it right and we're successful, won't be forever. Maybe months, maybe weeks, but not forever. So please, whether you're alone and pining for someone or locked in a room with someone you'd rather not be locked in a room with or just alone, please know that this too shall pass. All right. About your question about phone calls, about video conferencing, which is being recommended by many, many people to people who are home alone and whose lovers are on the other side of the world or the other side of town or across the street. Get online, masturbate. The trick is, and I think the answer for you is to find the kind of getting online, the kind of phone or video sex that works for you. And if you have a masturbatory style where you are not so into your look, or your head is pressed into the pillow, or there's too many toys and implements flying around for you to pay attention to the video conference going on, the option for you is to just have phone sex, to put the phone on speaker and allow your lover to listen, and you'll be able to talk, and you won't have to be self-conscious then about your appearance. And then after you come, jump online, or before you come, do this first, you can jump online with your lover, get on a video conference. You can watch them masturbate, encourage them, dirty talk, while they're seeing you at your most composed, because you are not masturbating. You are sitting up pretty for the camera. One of the impressions people get from watching people have sex, and film and television and a lot of shitty pornography out there, is that when sex is good, when it's working, people come at the exact same time. And anybody who's had enough sex knows that that's just rarely the case. Sometimes you come simultaneously and you're like, wow, that was really great. That was kind of like in the movies or in porn. But usually one person comes and then the other person stays in the game and gets the other person off. And part of being an adult functioning human with realistic expectations around sex is letting go of that. You have to come simultaneously, which puts a lot of pressure on women to fake orgasms, or it wasn't good sex. Well, what applies to in-person, non-pandemic sex when you're with somebody in the same room having sex applies when you're having phone sex or video chat sex. You don't have to come at the same time. One person can put their effort into getting the other person off, and then you can switch roles or wait a few hours or take turns a day later. But you'll have better phone sex, better video chat conferencing sex, better Zoom sex, I think we should start calling it. And you will have better in-person sex once we can all get back together in person with our LDRs if you don't get hung up on coming at the same time.
Hey, Dan, quick question for you. My partner and I are having a little COVID-19 debate over here. We want to know, do people have more sex during world crises like this when they're in close proximity and get to be cooped up with each other, or do they have less? He thinks that there was a baby boom after 9/11 because people were afraid to go out and they capitalized on their free time by fucking. And he kind of thinks that this might be a similar situation where people are all self-quarantining and just having tons of sex. But I, on the other hand, believe that people might pull away from each other a bit because there's a lack of privacy and autonomy after being in close proximity with their partner or partners for a while. So please let me know what you think. We really don't care who wins. We just want to know your thoughts.
Terror sex is a thing people talked about in the wake of 9/11. There were a lot of reports about people pouring into bars and clubs, which we can't do now, although we are terrorized at the moment, and hooking up with randos because tomorrow the world might end. There wasn't, however, a post 9/11 baby boom. There wasn't a baby boom 9 months after 9/11. Snopes.com covered it. Post 9/11 baby boom. Hospitals experienced a sharp increase in births 9 months after 9/11 is the claim, and the rating from Snopes is false. Didn't happen. So people were having a lot of terror sex and panic sex and hooking up because the world might end sex. People were being careful to use birth control or have anal. Will we see a baby boom 9 months from now? If 9/11 is any measure, the answer is probably not. And people are facing a lot of uncertainty, particularly in a country like the United States of America, where having a child, you don't get a lot of support. You don't get a lot of parental leave. You don't get cash payments like you do in other countries. There isn't childcare that's cheap or readily available. And a lot of people are losing their jobs right now. And unemployed people who fear for themselves and their future tend not to be people who want to bring a lot of kids into the world. So I think it is unlikely that we will see a baby boom 9 months from now. That doesn't mean people aren't hooking up. That doesn't mean people aren't getting it on with the people that they are locked up with at the moment. I think there is a lot of tension-relieving sex and masturbation and online sex and phone sex going on at the moment, but condoms are being used, birth control is being used, and buttholes are being used. For everyone's sake, right now, we need to avoid crowds in any way that we can. What if you need to go to the post office? What if you need postage or to send letters out and packages? Don't worry, Stamps.com is here to help. How? Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at home with Stamps.com. Print postage on demand, skip those lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can actually save money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer in the safety and comfort of your own home, office, or anywhere else you're hunkering down right now. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller, or just getting into the business of online selling, shipping out products, or you're just working from home and you need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a free package pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. No human contact required. It's that simple. And like I said, with Stamps.com, you get great discounts too. 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off USPS shipping rates. And now, in addition to offering discounted U.S. Postal Service rates, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discount rates up to 62%. Plus, with Stamps.com, you won't even have to pay UPS residential surcharges. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, especially right now, saving you time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy times. And right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage. That's stamps.com, enter Savage. Stay safe out there, my friends.
Hey, Dan, you took a call last week about how to survive quarantine with your partner, but I have the opposite problem. So I live in Europe and my partner lives in Asia and he has underlying health conditions and I'm already really afraid for him. And I'm especially afraid because he's in a country that has closed its borders. So even if he did get sick, there's no way I could get to him. And on top of that, I keep worrying that as long as this is going on, I won't be able to see him at all because of travel restrictions and also because I'm just terrified of getting him sick by bringing an infection myself. I haven't seen him since August of last year because of work, and I was just planning a trip for this summer when the pandemic happened. So now I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to see him for like 6 months or a year. So how do I manage my coronavirus-related anxiety without putting too much stress on my partner? How do I figure out the appropriate amount of anxiety to express to him when I need support to get through this and how much to keep to myself? Because he's perfectly aware he's vulnerable, and me saying that I'm scared for him doesn't help, so I really try to manage this on my own, but I'm also freaking out and I have anxiety anyway and I'm on medication, but therapy isn't an option in the country where I live. So I also have to sort out, you know, what's the best thing for me to do? I'm terrified of this going on for months or a year and I'm lonely and scared and I feel really selfish for thinking about me when his life is in danger. Do you have any advice?
There's a balance you have to strike between being honest about where you're at and how you're feeling and not just turning every phone call with your partner. And I'm really sorry that you're parted from him right now, that you're separated from him right now. Not turning every phone call you have with your partner into basically a crank up our anxiety fest. I think if you can acknowledge that you're anxious and worried for him at the start of a phone call and then set that aside, because of course you are. We are all anxious. All of us all over the world are anxious. All of us who have friends or relatives or lovers or partners in a high-risk group are especially worried for our friends, lovers, partners, parents, grandparents in those high-risk groups. So you can regard that just as a baseline. And I think if you got on the phone with your partner and you could just acknowledge, I'm worried for you and I'm anxious, now let's talk about something else. But acknowledging the anxiety and that that exists and it's thrumming there in the background may make it easier for you to turn the topic, turn the conversation to other things, to memories, to things you've enjoyed together in the past, and to plans, even if they're hypothetical and conditional right now, plans for when you get together in the future and the things you're going to do and enjoy together. And of course, the phone sex or video conference chat sex that you guys can have now. You don't want to bottle your anxiety up. You say you're on meds and you say therapy isn't an option. You must have a friend. There must be a friend that you have somewhere in the world that you could call in a favor and say, I need to just let it rip. I need to vent the full intensity, furor and volume of my anxiety right now. Can you just listen and say, I'm so sorry, and let me go? Because I don't want to blow up like this at my partner because he's anxious enough, but I need to let it out. I need someone to hear me. And you can be that person for your friend who is probably also anxious, and you can have a designated survivor of your panic attacks. You can have someone in your life that you get on the phone and you just wallow in your anxiety. That person, as you rightly intuit, shouldn't be your partner because he's anxious enough. But you can't pretend not to feel what you're actually feeling. It'll help, though, I promise you. I'm doing this in my life. It'll help if you get on the phone with your partner and just say, I'm worried and anxious, and now let's talk about the books you're reading. Talk about the Netflix shows you're watching. Talk about other things, and you'll be able to have those conversations more easily and in a more relaxed fashion if you can acknowledge how anxious you are at the start. Retail therapy. Therapy, we need it in all forms. Retail therapy, that's good therapy. If you're feeling the urge to indulge and get yourself some new clothes, but you can't go out shopping, never fear. ThredUp is here for you. You can save some money, shop resale from home or on your computer with the greatest of ease. ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with up to 90% off estimated retail. You get insane deals, the insane deals of thrifting at ThredUp with the convenience of online shopping from all your favorite brands. Score Nike for only $6. Theory starting at $20, Lululemon $27, J. Crew for $10, and more. Everything at a fraction of retail price. And today, right now, you can get an extra 30% off your first order at ThreadUp.com/savage. Back when we could go to thrift stores, we'd have to spend hours at the racks digging through bins. But at ThreadUp, you can customize your search by size, style, and budget so you can find the best deals instantly. It's really that easy. Everything is in high-quality condition. Lots of items even have their tags still on them. Plus, ThreadUp gets new arrivals every minute, so there are always new treasures to find. Sustainable, good for the planet, to reuse, sustainable, stylish, totally affordable. Get there with ThreadUp. And for Savage Lovecast listeners, here's an exclusive offer just for you. Get an extra 30% off your first order at ThreadUp.com/savage. That's ThreadUp.com/savage for 30% off your first order. ThreadUp.com/savage for an extra 30% off today. Terms apply.
Hello, Dan. My boyfriend works at a grocery store in our town and works there 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day now because of the corona panic and buying frenzy. So anyway, he comes home to his house. We don't live together. And then he sometimes comes over to my place. And he's very healthy. He does nose cleaning and everything. But I am told that people can be silent carriers. So I'm wondering if I should be leaving him out of my home for the time being and letting him stay at his house and only, well, like you say, 6 feet apart. If he does come over, no touching, kissing or anything because he's working in the food industry. 5 days a week. I'm very curious.
This is going to seem like it's from left field, but it's not. Did everyone catch Angela Merkel's speech? Angela Merkel gave a speech. Angela Merkel looked into the camera and addressed the German nation. This is not something that Angela Merkel, the German chancellors do. Germany has a president. The German president is the head of state. The chancellor is kind of like the prime minister. And the chancellor doesn't give a lot of big speeches, you know, from the Oval Office, like those horrible speeches we've been subjected to with Donald Trump's ugly fucking face talking at us. It's not something Angela Merkel personally seems to enjoy. It's in her skill set. It's also not something chancellors do very often, but she did it. She gave a speech to the nation. And it was the speech we wish we could hear from our leader that we will not hear because it was serious. It was informed by facts and it was bracing. And oh my God, if you didn't see it, New York Magazine posted it. I posted it to Slog, the Stranger's blog. If you just look on YouTube, you will find Angela Merkel's speech about the coronavirus. I found it very helpful to watch. It helped soothe my anxiety about corona and about the lockdown to watch Angela Merkel give a speech. It made me miss having a real president. So I borrowed Germany's chancellor for 17 minutes. You might want to as well. One of the most moving moments in the speech was when Angela Merkel was encouraging people not to do what a lot of people are doing right now, which is to panic buy, to rush into supermarkets and buy everything, buy up all the toilet paper, buy up all the canned food, buy up all everything, because supply chains are not being interrupted. There's food in the stores. I'm in Seattle. We got hit first in the United States. And I go to the grocery store as infrequently as I possibly can. But we go to the grocery store and there's plenty of milk, plenty of eggs, plenty of soup, plenty of pasta. There was even toilet paper. If we're not having food and TP shortages here, I promise you, you're not going to have them in Topeka. I promise you, you're not going to have them in Champaign, Illinois. So no need to panic buy. However, panic buying is about the only thing in our economy that's creating jobs right now. Supermarkets are hiring and keeping staff on 24/7 to restock shelves because people are taking a lot of soup home. And we're not running out, which means you don't have to take a lot of soup home, but people are. And I guess the upside of all the panic buying is that your boyfriend still has a job and some job security. And the supermarket where your boyfriend works is probably hiring. All right, what to do? Your boyfriend is in an environment where he is being exposed to many people all day long. it would probably be best, if you wanted to err on the side of safety, for you not to see him, for him not to come over. You have to do a risk-benefit analysis, though, about what kind of risk, what level of risk you're comfortable with. There are people out there whose partners are ER doctors, whose partners are medical professionals, who are treating people who have COVID, who are on the front lines of this, fighting the pandemic. And they go home to partners, spouses, children. Some doctors have chosen to isolate themselves. I read about one doctor who's living in the apartment over the garage and not interacting with his family. Others are stripping naked on the porch, putting their clothes in the laundry immediately and taking a hot shower before they see or touch anyone. Just strip naked on the porch, march upstairs, hot shower, but then interacting with their families. Anyway, not just doctors on the front lines who are facing these sorts of choices, but also nurses and staff in hospitals who are on the front lines fighting the coronavirus pandemic and facing these sorts of choices, and then going home to family and making an informed risk-benefit analysis and then deciding what level of risk they're willing to shoulder versus the benefit of human contact. Your boyfriend has a really stressful job right now. Is getting together with you helping him deal with that stress? You are isolated right now. Is getting together with him, him being your one person who enters your living space right now, is that helping you deal with your stress? Are there measures you can take to minimize your risk? Maybe he comes over and hangs out, but you guys don't touch each other. Or he comes over, strips down, clothes into the laundry, into that hot shower, just like the doctor I know. But at the end of the day, you know, if it's just you two and you two are your own isolation pod, except when he's at work, yeah, there is increased risk there for you. But there is risk in isolation and there is risk in loneliness, and we need what we need to get through this. And if you need to be with him and he needs to be with you and he isn't hanging out with anyone else when he's not at work and you aren't hanging out with anyone else, it's a risk I would run to have that contact. For you to be his person right now and him to be your person right now may help you get through this. But if you want to err on the side of absolute safety, yeah, your boyfriend shouldn't be coming over to your house after work or at all. Those of us who are lucky enough to still have jobs can help save other people's jobs in the restaurant industry by supporting and ordering from restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants and favorite restaurant workers on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos, or you can choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left for you at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep your community safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more and zero delivery fees for your first month when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code SAVAGE. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees for an entire month when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store. And remember to enter the code SAVAGE. Don't forget to use the code SAVAGE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Hey, Dan. I'm a queer lady in a rural town in British Columbia, and I'm calling with a quarantine question for you. So I live alone and I've been casually seeing a few partners, one of which I've been seeing for over a year now. And my question is about how to responsibly socially isolate right now. So obviously my first option is to cut off all sexual contact with everyone and just masturbate myself into oblivion. That's fine. Or do you think it's safe and responsible to choose just one partner to continue sleeping with? If so, do you have any pointers for how I should go about having a conversation about safety? Like, what expectations should I have of someone? Should they have no other social contact or sexual contact? Do I choose the guy who's best at sex? Do I choose the guy who's best at social distancing? Do you think it's possible for me to continue having sexual contact with someone during this really uncertain time? And I guess for me, it feels like this is just a much scarier and high stakes conversation about sexual health. It also feels really strange to ask someone who's been casual with me to suddenly essentially become temporarily monogamous. So let me know what you think. Or am I just being a horny asshole that needs to keep it in my pants until this is all over?
Joining me by phone to help tackle this question, Tristan Taormino, author of Opening Up, A Guide to Creating and Sustaining Open Relationships, and the co-host of the Sex Out Loud podcast. Hey, Tristan, how are you doing?
Hey, Dan. Doing as best as I can.
Yeah, we all feel obligated to lie right now when someone says, how are you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. I'm a wreck and a mess, and I'm bursting into tears at random intervals. It's like the week my mom died. How are you?
Yeah, exactly. When I'm not on social media, I'm feeling a little better. But then I catch a whiff of some headline and or press conference or something, and then it like riles me up again.
Right. I catch a Trump presser for a brief second, or someone posts a clip, and then I just have to go have some more pot.
I have to gouge my eyes out. I've only listened to one live, but like it's like being in the Twilight Zone. I mean, it's shocking.
So much is shocking me these days, including some of the things that are coming out of my mouth. And that's why I wanted to have you on to talk about this before we even get to the caller. Opening up, you wrote the book on open relationships. I've recommended it a million times. You've been on the podcast before with me, and thank you for coming back. And right now I keep sort of turning over and over in my mind that poly, is it canceled? Open relationships, are they canceled? At least right now, right. You wrote the book on open relationships. Are they off?
I want to go on the conservative side of things here and say, yes. I know it's crazy, but unless you live with all of your partners, You're actually not supposed to be having anyone over to your house. You're not supposed to be going to other people's houses. And so technically, the only person you can be having sex with is yourself and members of your household.
That doesn't mean we're all monogamists now, because some people have more than one other member of their household. There are people in established poly triads who all live together. And it's fine for those people. If you live with somebody and you're sharing a space with them, if they get it, you're probably going to get it, or you're definitely going to be exposed. And so there's no need to keep your hands off each other if it's someone you live
with. No, not at all.
But you're not going to be able to sustain some 15-member polycule at the moment safely, or bring in new partners.
I mean, you can sustain it.
No, that's an important point.
You can sustain it on Zoom, but yeah.
Right. You don't have to abandon your other lovers, but you can't, if they don't live with you, see them right now, much less fuck them right now.
That's my recommendation. Does that sound crazy?
No. It doesn't. It's not crazy. It's necessary, but it's hard for you, people like you and me, to say, because we have battled for so long the stigma and shame and judgment and condemnation of open relationships or non-monogamous relationships or polyamorous relationships, that it just feels so weird to be put in a corner by this virus and have to say, yeah, we're all monogamists now. Everybody, monogamy is like the thing we're doing, at least for the next month. And it's just really hard to say that. I'm the sexual adventure guy, go on a sexual adventure together guy. And I'm having to say, yeah, no sexual adventures except in your head or online.
Yeah, or with only people who live in your house.
So hopefully you have a lover who lives in your house, or a willing roommate.
But then, you know, the other part of this that feels kind of gross is that it somehow reinforces the sort of idea that you should live with a partner, which not everyone wants to live with a partner, including a love and committed partner. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's some weird heteronormativity, like rearing its head, that is basically, prioritizing couples who live together.
Well, there has been some advice. I think I've given the advice that, maybe even if you don't live together, you could live together for now, because it's getting from your place to their place and back, or vice versa, where you're going to be taking a risk. You know, if you have to get on the subway or the bus or walk down the street past people who aren't observing the 6-foot distance rule, and I want to murder those people, maybe move in together temporarily, not because we all have to pair up and live in couples or cohabitate for our loves or affections to be valid. But right now, just practically, these external circumstances make that safer. So even if it's just a lark and an experiment, maybe shack up. Not because you have to live like the Cleavers, but...
That's not a bad idea. I mean, because all the guidelines say, you know, all members of your household are excluded from certain things. And so if you want to move in together, that would be one way. I mean, I think, you know, the question comes from a place that I think all of us can relate to, which is just that people are feeling lonely right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was joking and saying, oh, should I keep it in my pants? And she was making light of it, but I also heard this sort of undercurrent of, I want to be with these people, just like we all want to be with the people in our lives.
Well, that's the torment of this pandemic, of this particular virus, is that we're all in a panic. We're all afraid. The impulse is to gather people to us at those moments,
mm-hmm.
and to seek comfort. And we can't, and usually that's physically expressed. We bring people physically close to us, whether they're our lovers or not. We want to be surrounded by support. And right now that support has to be virtual. You have to text, you have to DM, you have to video chat. You can't get together. But before we move on to the caller's question, I just want the screaming headline. Dan Savage, Tristan Taormino say, be monogamous. Polyamory in person, face-to-face polyamory, canceled. Non-monogamy, canceled.
Yeah, our careers are over, Dan.
Okay, so advice for this woman. She wants to have one sex partner. She wants to do the right thing. Just pick one. Does she pick the guy who's best at sex, the guy she thinks is best at social distancing? And can you ask a casual sex partner to be monogamous for the moment?
These are unprecedented times. So what I want to say is there's no rule book. We're writing it as we go along, right?
Right.
We are. And so, yes, I think all of these desires are valid. And she can absolutely ask one person to say, hey, can we, but I would like them to be in the same space,
yes,
like you said.
Yes.
So she could say, hey, do you want to move in? We've only been together for 3 weeks. And then I'm going to also be conservative here and say, even though it might be the end of the world, I think she should go with the person she thinks she's more compatible with living wise.
Which might not be best sex or best social distancing, but the person that you think you can have the best time with, when you're not having sex under the same roof, hanging out.
Yeah, generally the people I have the hottest sex with, I could never live with.
So you want to go with
just me?
You want to go with best rapport, maybe, instead of best sex.
Compatibility. I'm going to go with compatibility on this. Yeah.
So I also want to say to the caller, like, you know, she's worried that asking one of her casual sex partners to be temporarily monogamous at the moment is going to, I guess, freak them out or put them off. It's not going to, they're not going to perceive that as an out of left field question if they've been paying attention to what's going on. So I don't think the caller should worry about asking that question. You can ask a lover anything. You can ask them to stand on one foot for the rest of their lives or to stand on their head. They can say no. But unlike the will you stand on your head whenever we're together question, the can we like be exclusive for the next month question isn't going to be a surprise, isn't going to come from left field. And so I don't think you should hesitate to ask it.
No, they should all have this conversation. Absolutely. And I just don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm picturing her trying to sort of say, I'm only going to sleep with this person, and then maybe he's only going to sleep with his like nesting partner, and maybe the nesting partner is only going to go see your therapist. But you see like how then everyone, there's too much contact there.
Right. So you need to pick a partner that you are compatible with and who isn't fucking anybody else right now. Because Tristan Taormino believes in monogamy, heteronormative pair bonds, and shacking up. That's the takeaway?
That's the takeaway, Dan.
but you only believe it until this pandemic is defeated, until this is under control. Then it's back to the shit we usually tell people to do.
Yeah, then it's back to public sex, anonymous sex, all of it.
Tristan Taormino, author of Opening Up, A Guide to Creating and Sustaining Open Relationships. If you're looking for something to read at home, you can read this book right now in preparation for opening up your relationship 6 months or a year from now. Also host of the Sex Out Loud podcast. Tristan, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
And I'm glad we could commiserate about our shared torment at this moment, having to walk back all the advice we've ever given anyone ever, at least for the next month.
Yes.
Hi, Dan. This is a longtime listener. I am a 30-year-old female living in Chicago, and I just started dating a friend of mine, and we've been friends for about 8 years. And my question is around being more assertive when it comes to things that I want in the bedroom. I've asked him, you know, multiple times if he would be into being the one that's more assertive, the one that's initiating sex more. And he says that that's totally up his alley. He really wants to do that for me. I had mentioned a few times coming over to his condo and just, you know, wanting him to lift me up and fuck me on his kitchen island. And he has said that that is something that he would be interested in. He just didn't know if I would be. So I made it clear that, yes, I'd really like you to show some initiative. We've been dating for about 3 months. I probably had that talk with him about 2 months ago, and there really hasn't been any change at all. So I don't want to harp on him, and I don't want him to feel like he's inadequate, because when we do have sex, you know, right before we're going to bed, it's good and satisfying, but I need that extra push and thrill of passion that I feel like you get with maybe a new partner as opposed to someone that you've known for a long time.
So basically, you are being assertive about your need for him to be more assertive, particularly where Kitchen Island is concerned. There's something about Kitchen Island that makes me laugh. We have a Kitchen Island in my house. We've never fucked out. We're pretty sexually adventurous around my house, and yet we have this poor, lonely Kitchen Island that no one's ever gotten fucked on, so far as I know. And I think I would know if someone had been fucked on the Kitchen Island in my house. You used to hear people would talk about, you know, a married couple wanting to spice up their sex life. Fuck around the kitchen table. Ann Landers told people to have sex on the kitchen table. But now it's Kitchen Island. And it does seem to be a thing for some people that this is how you have crazy, hot, passionate sex. You just do it not in the bedroom. You do it on a surface. You do it in a place where sex isn't supposed to happen. And then it makes it naughty and thrilling. I think the thrill for you, though, is, and what you're missing, is a sense that his desire for you is so great that he can't wait to get you from Kitchen Island to bedroom Savannah, that he just has to take you right there. And you need that kind of sense of being ravished and taken and inspiring in him such a level of desire that he can't control himself. And I don't know if that's something a person can fake. Like a person, not that he doesn't desire you, obviously he desires you, say the sex, when you have it, is good, but he may be a little bit more reserved, or he may just need a push. He may need your permission to ravish you. You can ask to be ravished. You can climb up on that kitchen island and throw your legs up and tell him to get his face in your pussy. You can instigate the kind of sex that you want to have and then allow him to rise to the challenge. If he can meet your level of desire and passion, maybe you having to initiate, you being the instigator, is the price you have to pay to be in this relationship with him, to have the kind of sex that you want to have. Maybe he'll catch a groove. Maybe once you've jumped up on this kitchen island a few times yourself, he will pick you up and put you on that kitchen island himself. But he may not. And it's not that he's sexually repressed. It may just be that it's not the way his libido works, that he isn't naturally a ravisher. But maybe if you, your desire to be the ravishee, initiate the ravishing, you can bring out, over time, the ravisher that might be in him. All right, before we get to your response calls, let's read the tweets. Melinda tweets, "Hey, Fake Dan Savage, to the caller in episode 696 who struggles with being a grower, not a shower, because he feels self-conscious. Darling, there are almost no women out there who are looking at your flaccid penis. They're like aliens to us. Don't put so much stress on yourself. Hashtag Savage Lovecast." Julie Vecchio tweets, "Hey, at Fake Dan Savage, just finished episode 700 of the Savage Lovecast. That was the best description of the hows and whys of social distancing I've heard. Thanks for bringing amazing guests here on your show." Thank you so much. That amazing guest, epidemiologist Daniel Weistreich of the University of North Carolina. We neglected to mention that you can follow him on Twitter. He's on Twitter at EpidByDesign, and he's pumping a lot of great and informative tweets. Everyone should go follow Dr. Weistreich on Twitter. And finally, Nathan Brown tweets, Dan Savage's failure to make a 700 Club joke at the top of this week's hashtag Savage Lovecast, the 700th episode, was a real disappointment. Sorry about that, Nathan. I should have done that. I actually have a framed 700 Club membership in my house. I will toss it up on Slog this week. But yeah, that was a real oversight. It's almost like when we did our 420th show and forgot to get high. All right. If you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now your response calls.
Hi. Calling in response to the caller who's recent boyfriend doesn't want to quarantine with her. Listen, if my sister that I lived with would leave me alone and take our dog away to go stay with like a boyfriend of no time almost, that would be really awful. Like your boyfriend lives with his sister. I'm assuming he loves her. They are siblings. They've known each other for their lifetime. And they are a household with a dog, and you are lonely, understandable, but you are insisting on a choice that would be very questionable to me. Upgrade your Zoom account, buy some books. Don't be such a brat.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling about episode 700 and the person who called in asking about hooking up with new people during the pandemic. And you guys clearly said that was a bad idea. Nobody should be doing that right now. And I liked the advice about taking your time with a romantic courtship and writing letters and sonnets. But I also was surprised that Dan Savage did not say, for those who are looking for random hookups, you know, phone sex, video sex, like, why not, you know, whip out your dildo and ask somebody to watch.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to report a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064. Better yet, even better, you can record your question on your phone using your voice memo app and send it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. If you are home alone and you are bored, but you've got some weed, you might want to check out Hump's sister film festival, Spliff. It's a brilliant collection of films created by the stoned, for the stoned, and it is streaming online right now, anytime, whenever you're stoned, at splifffilmfest.com. If there's someone that you know who might benefit from a little bit extra Savage Lovecast in their life right now, you can give the gift of the Magnum, twice as much Savage Lovecast, no ads, more guests, more questions. Go to savagelovecast.com and click on the gift box and send them a Magnum subscription to the Savage Lovecast. And keep your quarantine sex stories coming. We're going to dedicate a big chunk of an upcoming show to them. Give us a buzz, 206-302-2064, or record it on the voice memo app on your phone and send it to voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Let us know how you're getting through. Let us know about the sex you're having. Share your sex tips, how you're making it work during the lockdown. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Tristan Taramino, advocate for strict monogamy, on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. And follow Early to Bed on Twitter at Early to Bed. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian. And me and the tech savvy at risk, Keith and Nancy, will all be back at you next week for an installment of the Savage Lovecast. And yes, while recording, we are staying 6 feet away from each other.